Hello and welcome to We're All Gonna Die and Other Fun Facts, a semi-regular, occasionally amusing, and rarely funny series of conversations on a random topic. This episode is entitled I Brought a Printer This Time, and it's about DIY touring. And we have someone on the podcast who knows a little something about DIY touring, Ms. Sarah Donner. Say something for yourself. You're in the process right now beginning a, how many weeks?
About 7 or 8 weeks of touring.
7, 8 weeks DIY touring.
Yes, New Jersey to San Diego to Vancouver to
Nebraska.
Where?
Playing Nebraska. You mm-hmm. made it in Nebraska.
Yeah, I'm gonna try that out.
Yes, and so. So we were talking earlier, and I said, "Let's do a podcast about this." So here we are. So you're basically trying to make money as a musician in an era where music has absolutely no monetary value.
Yeah.
Isn't that why? Why would you do that?
Oh gosh. Well, because I have to pay bills essentially.
Okay.
And doing the day job wasn't working for me after. I had a good run. I had a good 6-year run of working hard with health insurance and everything. And finally, I just said, I can't do this anymore.
I want to be the absolute nightmare of the Republican Party, basically, is what you decided. Okay.
Yeah. I signed up for Obamacare right after I quit my job. So thank you.
So you're communist, too. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, no, I mean, I can say I'm with you. I mean, I have a job where I go to work regularly, but it has meaning, I guess. that's the thing. Like, there's some, like, maybe not metaphysical purpose to it, but there's some philosophical, like, I'm doing this for a reason, and they pay me money.
Yay!
Sort of thing, you know?
That's all we ever wanted.
That's not all we ever wanted. So that's what you've decided to do,
mm-hmm.
and your means of doing this is... Well, talk to us about the tour. Like, what is the tour?
What is the tour? I mean, I didn't just go.
Do you have tour T-shirts with all of the dates and cities listed on the back?
No, it does have a beautiful unicorn on the front of it, though.
Oh, okay. So
it's very cute.
Yes.
I didn't just up and quit my job and go on tour. Like, I've kind of been building to this, so.
Okay, so there wasn't, so it was a slow rage. You made a huge scene when you walked out the door of your job.
I did. I kicked the door.
Kicked the door,
punched
yeah.
Punched my boss in the face.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're on the run from the law as well? Is that how this works?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Oh, I'm being mean. But, so, no, but the tour is, though, I mean, this is DIY touring, right?
Yes,
this is
I
not,
have
you
no...
don't have a recuperative, there's no label support.
No support.
So at least if there's no recuperative, there's no, like, you know, getting sucked into, you know, you're so in debt to the label that you kind of...
No, there's
like,
no...
have to write the bad pop song. To be
no, there's no good. Agent, there's no label, there's no...
So how do you do it? How do you make this work? Because you know what I mean? Like, this is, like, you don't just, like, drive around.
Sure. Well, you have to start planning a good 3 or 4 months in advance.
Okay.
Don't just get in the car and... I don't know. I'm not that kind of person who can, off the cuff, you know. I need to know where I'm going next. And, you know, if you have fans, you should let them know where you're going next,
yes.
too.
So how does somebody build a network like that without, like, a, you know, a publicist and... payola. That's the way.
I use a lot of cats.
You cats?
Yeah,
okay.
A lot of kittens. I let them out and I put little, you know, little tags on them. Or I brand them with my tour dates and I
send
them out.
That sounds very humane,
into
yes.
the country.
Yes.
this is my fifth tour, so it kind of started a lot smaller. And then I start out knowing where I can go and stay for free.
Okay.
I think that's a pretty important start. So, you know, if you have friends or family around the country, you know, peg those spots first, because that also means you'll have your friends or family coming to your shows.
Ah.
Hopefully, if they love you, you know. So you want to go to where places.
Or at least have tremendous guilt issues. And
yeah, that's fine too. Whatever. You know, whatever. Doesn't matter what brings them out. As long as they come and they buy a ticket or whatever.
So I guess there's, though, when you do it this way, I mean, is this a matter of a lot of trying to make virtue out of necessity?
Virtue out of necessity? Just like.
Yeah, I mean, well, think about it, you know, so you have this kind of way of touring that, well, okay, so if I don't have, like, you know, a recuperative or, you know, I can just blow 10 grand on motels and gas or whatever.
Well, I don't have 10 grand.
Yes.
So.
But you know what I mean? So it's like to make it work, but then you do make this thing that is, because, you know, speaking of that network, of course, your bass player, Jay,
sure.
We got hooked up a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
and it was, hey, Matt, what are you doing? Can you do a house concert, like, July 13th or something? And
yeah.
I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
And that was it. Yeah, it was booked, it was like, yeah. You know, and there was, right. He was here. And
that's
went to
how
high
you
school
start your network,
because yes.
Here I am again.
You're back.
2 years later, and I was like, I need a place to stay. And then we talked, and we're like, let's do a house concert. And, you know.
And yes, and we will, mm-hmm. just not at this house. Actually, you know, you get the honor of being, this will be the last podcast recorded here.
Whoa.
Yes, because this lovely room with its soundproof walls and mixing board,
mm-hmm.
is the last podcast that we will record in this space.
It's very fancy with the foam on the wall.
Yeah, I know. It was a lot of money, you know. It's a lot of money, and you know, I went through 3 sound engineers to try to figure this out, and it just wasn't working. And so now we have this highly sophisticated thing, but unfortunately we're moving, so now we got
to
transfer.
A more sophisticated.
Yes, yes, house. Better mics, better, you know, better everything.
Absolutely,
yes, absolutely. Moving better on. Soundproofing. You know, it'll be quite something.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be no reverb in the room or anything. So, or it's the other way: is that our voices should have a decay. You know.
My voice definitely has a decay.
Yes, there you go. Yeah. You want it to bounce off.
How late it gets in the night.
Yes, absolutely. But no, so I mean, but the house concert thing, and I've witnessed one, because I hosted it, is this wonderfully intimate, fun thing that, I mean, I know at least 2 of the folks who were at that concert, who don't usually come to things at my house, became like serious fans of your music,
yeah.
because of that night.
Yeah, that's a great way to build your network is, you know, put it on your friends to throw you a house concert, and then they bring their friends, and hopefully you can charm them with your,
yeah.
you know, dulcet tones, and then that is the best way to build a fan base, because it's not, you know, you're not up on stage far away in the lights, and they're not just, you know, staring at you and. Well, hopefully they're staring at you because they're listening, but there's also that conversation that you have afterwards,
mm-hmm.
and you know there's a lot of feedback that you can go back and forth and talk to those people, because it is so intimate and it's not like a giant crowd, but it's a crowd that's gonna hopefully, you know, be loyal to you when you come back the next time, and maybe if you're not playing at a house concert, they'll come to the venue or whatever and buy tickets. And so, I mean, that's one of my favorite ways to do a concert, is just in someone's home. I don't have to drive afterwards.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, it's very low key. There's no sound check. I don't have to worry about, you know, issues on that end. And people are really generous when they see that you're on tour and you're an artist and you're just trying to make it work. I feel that, you know, having that intimate experience with the audience allows them to maybe give a little more than they would have if you were just, you know, in the corner of a coffee shop or a bar or whatever, you know.
Well, you're just that thing that makes noise while people try to forget their lives or something.
Right, or over the espresso machine or whatever.
Yeah. I'm sure, though, I mean, it has to be. Is it there, you know, I mean, I know there's sort of a network thing, but is there some, like, a risk to, you know, what are these people are really weird or something, you know what I mean?
You should have a tour buddy.
Tour buddy?
When you're going to total strangers' houses. That's never happened.
It's never happened. People are legitimately
to me,
trusting
so far.
Or.
Yeah, so far. So, yeah. I mean, you know, tour isn't without its dangers, such as getting your car or van broken into, which has happened.
And you wrote a song about it.
Several times. But this, we're in an off year right now. It seems that it happens every other year. So this year should be the good year. Fingers crossed.
Okay.
But I now know how to replace a car door window.
Oh, wow.
Should I need to.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we still have our older car, Cavalier. The motor is, the window's fine, but do you do motors too? Because the electric windows,
no, it
won't go back up. That's the problem.
Oh, no. I can replace the glass. That's it. And by me, I mean like I can watch my friends do it.
Well, that's like
I have
doing
the tools
it.
In the car, and I'll I can supervise.
Yes.
I'm like, here.
Yeah. So
I know
okay, which
like.
Actually is a good transition to the next thing. So. Yeah, so it's a car, it's not a van, it's not an RV, it's not a living space. Our mutual friend Spiff, who's been on this podcast a couple times, I think he expressed to me last time he passed through his dream of buying a Ford Transit van.
Because
it's like a van that's like car size.
The European-y kind
of European-y thing. He's like, I could put a loft up in the back and all of this, and make this mode. But you have a Honda.
I do.
A Honda Hybrid.
I used to tour in a minivan and put the mattress in the back seat.
Mm.
And I think that was the first 2 years I was touring. And eventually I just... Well, parking in Walmart parking lots really lost its appeal pretty quickly.
Yeah, which I'm sure that's probably maybe way creepier
than
a stranger's house.
It's very hard to sleep in a Walmart parking lot.
I mean, it's crazy bright security lights.
What's really scary is at 5 in the morning when the army of landscapers come to blow leaves and they surround the van.
Oh my god,
what's going on? And it's like, and they've got all their lawnmowers and
that was bizarre. And I mean we've done occasionally the late night Walmart run, and there's just like weird people in the world,
so
a house would be safer. So what do you, when it's time to like, we're gonna go on the road, and maybe this is another matter of virtue of necessity. So I see 1, 2, 3. Is that 4 guitars?
There's 3 guitars and 2 ukuleles.
2 ukuleles. In terms of, okay, so what else goes in the car in terms of like, I need this to live for 7 or 8 weeks. How do you parcel out, being someone who's in the process of moving, who has been packing for literally weeks, it seems like months. Mm. I'm trying to get in the, this is just what I need to live in the house.
Yeah.
Right now mode, which is not going well psychologically. Like, I have a coffee thermos.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Oh, no. And you can't find it?
And I can't find it. Ooh. And there's no point in unpacking to find it. But I know it exists. I know it is mine. But if I go on a picnic, I have to buy coffee. Mm. And that just destroys me inside. It just burns me up inside.
Yeah.
So what goes in...
In the car?
In the Honda Hybrid.
And
what is that decision-making process like?
It seems a little shady, because I feel like... there's a bit of smuggling going on, but it's my CDs that I'm kind of smuggling. So getting rid of all the foam around the spare tire and opening up that cavity of the car where you don't put anything, and throwing all your CDs and buttons and merch and extra things that you sell in there. Things you don't mind getting warm. Which, don't put beer back there. That happened once. Didn't happen again. Using all these crevices and spaces that you probably wouldn't think of using. So we have, all these instruments, cooler, bags of clothes. My husband runs a Etsy store where he sells mash paddles for home brewing equipment. So we've got 60 mash paddles in the car and a printer.
And a printer,
and the printer. Which is the first time we've brought a printer on tour. because we print the postage for the things we ship, which he ships stuff for his Mash Paddle business. I also have an Etsy store where I sell catnip toys or merch that I sell online. So it's cheaper to print out your postage online than to go to the post office.
Oh.
You know, it's probably not going to save you that much money if you're just doing it once in a while, but when you ship things regularly like we do, you can, you know, it adds up. So that's why we have printers.
A printer. And so, I mean, other stuff in terms of, you think, I mean, when you're like in your apartment before you go on tour, you think, I'm going to miss that, or I'm going to, wouldn't it be nice if I still had my
cats?
Yeah. Cats.
I've always got the technologies with me. I have crafts. I usually have a book. I have, a lot of food. We have a cooler. That's okay. Important.
Food. So, you need food, yes. Food
yeah,
is important to live, yes.
You can't afford to eat road food. Who wants to eat road food?
Yeah, I guess
all
that's...
day,
yeah,
every
that's
day.
Pretty awful.
Yeah, it's pretty... And it's hard... at some point, you just break down every once in a while and have to do that, and then you regret it 8 weeks later, but...
yes.
But that's why you stop touring. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess that's another thing, though. I keep thinking about, and as we're talking, and, in my line of business, I deal with a lot of college freshmen, and I sort of remember what it's like to be in a new place. And another thing that just, maybe this is why you do this and I don't, that just irks me to no end, is that sort of like having to be conscious about everything. Like, home life is sort of, in its own way, kind of efficient and invisible.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is basically, like, I always know where to poop. And even, like, on campus, like, I know, like, if that need arises or I just gotta go or do something, there's, like, a room for that and I know where that room is.
Mm-hmm.
Or anything else. Like, I know where the post offices are around in my hometown, speaking of mailing stuff. I can get to one of them, and it's just no thought at all.
Yeah.
As opposed to, I find, like, coming to a new space, like a new campus, like when I switch jobs or whatever, I find that mentally exhausting, that I have to think about all of this ancillary, like, where is the food? What will the food be? As opposed to, where, there's like 8 pizza places on the phone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Versus like, no, I have to think food, water, other biological necessities. Suddenly have to be something you have to like plan for or figure out? Or is that...
Well, there's the internet.
Okay.
Thank God.
Thank God there's the internet.
That's how I know where to poop every day.
Is there an app for
that?
Yeah,
where to poop. No.
Well,
I mean, there is the app that tells you where all the Starbucks are, like public restrooms and stuff like that.
Okay, yeah, all right. And is it called Word?
No,
okay.
If there should be one.
Yeah.
Somebody make that.
Should be one.
I should have made it and kept my mouth shut.
This will be dated, so it'll be okay.
It'll be already.
Somebody steals your idea.
Somebody will make it up by the time.
File a nuisance lawsuit that will be settled out of court.
I think it's exciting not knowing exactly where you're going to eat the next day. I could see long-term, yes, that would be exhausting, but I know that there's an end to the tour.
Yeah.
And I spend, I can always, for the most part, throughout these United States, I can get reception and I can figure out where I'm going to be, when I'm going to be there, what are some places around there that would be, fun to eat at or something to do.
Or at least would be edible.
Yeah. I can also find where the next Trader Joe's is or, something to just graze on while I'm waiting to find that more delicious food somewhere.
Yeah.
And I have, like I said, I stay with a lot of people that I know. So I also, just ask where to go, where not to go. That's probably more important is where not to go.
Yeah, no, that is important. Don't stay in Greenfield, that's for sure. But now, I think about it as you're saying that, it probably is more in tune with our maybe not so distant ancestors. I mean, even, you know, are the hunter-gatherer humans, but, you know, you would think our, you know, agrarian, you know, 150, 200 years ago, pre-industrial ancestors, which is, that's only a couple generations. There would be that. I wonder if there's going to be food in February, kind of. Like, you know, you spend all summer thinking, will there be food in February? Yeah. Which is probably more maybe a realistic human experience as opposed to what I'm describing, where it's just sort of like, I got a fridge.
Yeah. And where's the next craft brewery that I can that I can find a delicious saison on it or something? Yeah.
I mean, but you're also, you know, you're out there, you're subject to the elements, I guess. I mean, like tornadoes, like suddenly, like, you know what I mean? Like, do you think about that? Or do you think about, like, you know, like weird weather stories, weird encounters with people, frightening bumper stickers? Like, what's out there in America today?
Creepy. There's some pretty creepy billboards out there. In your home state, I might add.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, is it the one, the clown that says, I still believe in global warming, do you? Have you seen that
one? Oh, no, but it's something like that. It's like, would you take energy from a woman who wears a meat dress or something with, like, Lady Gaga?
Oh, or, yeah, those, yeah.
I don't quite understand.
Well, so what's happening here in our lovely home state, we are a Marcellus Shale state.
Oh, this is fracking.
This is fracking, and so there has been... it's interesting because considering there's something that... There's millions of dollars that go into making, you know, convincing people that it's okay, and there's these ads where it's like, you know, this company called Range Resources that, oh, it's so, you know, it allows us to keep our farm, and all of this bullshit that make it seem comfortable and okay. Mm. It's still something... folks in this state are, God bless them, still wary of and weird about. And so there's this other, yeah, along the turnpike, kind of more hateful, kind of esteem needs, cool kids table at lunch in high school kind of campaign going on.
Oh.
So there's that one. There's Yoko Ono.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, there's a Yoko Ono one. I think there's also something called Green Slime, where it's, you know, environmentalists. Or
okay.
Green slime.
Because there's those, and then there's a fair amount of, like, Bible-banging kind of...
There's that, too.
So I was assuming they were the same kind of campaign that was going on, so I was very confused about...
Very confused,
now
but it's...
Now I get it.
Same spectrum, I guess, or ideology. Political spectrum or ideology or whatever. But, so that's a thing that's happening. And
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, here's another fun thing to look for as you are traveling. I've seen these in Ohio, West Virginia, and Pennsylvania. Bridge
mullets.
Overpasses. Oh. No, not mullets, but Trust Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
In a certain handwriting, certain font, blue spray paint at overpasses.
Oh.
That's something that someone did many, many, when I was a kid. And if you drive around this region and you'll be on, like, turnpikes and interstates, you'll kind of hit.
Okay.
You know, yeah. So speaking of turnpikes and interstates, I guess, too, like the traveling, touring, you know, I guess this isn't Route 66, is it?
Haven't been on Route 66.
You haven't been on Route 66. But, you know, like that sort of like the way that the Eisenhower interstate system gets you past places and not to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that kind of a weird, like, I don't know, like, way to experience the country, I guess? Or do you find yourself thinking, like, oh, what's off that ramp? Or have you kind of had randomly, like, I wonder if there's a scenic route? Or is it more like, no, I have to go, and this is a thing, and whatever that little bump in the road small town is.
Yeah, it depends on what the schedule is that day. You know. But sometimes, like, last year, we were traveling from a gig in California to Redding. So it was from the coast to more interstate. And it was like 100 degrees that day, and we were just driving. It was super hot. We drove by this river, and there were people swimming in the river, and we're like, fuck it, let's go swimming. And I don't usually do that, but it was so hot, and just they didn't look like two creepy people.
Mm.
And it was just really hot. So we just, you know, there was a little, it's a little, like, turn off. And, you know, it was obviously a place where people jump in this river every once in a while. And it was kind of a fun, like, you know, random thing that we wouldn't have done. And,
that's cool. So what is the most bizarre thing, though, that you've encountered?
Ooh, gosh. You should have asked me this before. I could have come up with a nice list, I'm sure.
Or, here's a flip question, because I think...
Let me think about that, yeah.
Here's a flip of that. Oh, what? Okay.
Oh, I got... Okay. I was in Utah,
mm-hmm.
in Salt Lake City, playing a gig, and it was... Inside, there was an arts festival happening, and I had been invited to play a gig that was kind of adjacent to this arts festival, but I was not part of the arts festival.
Okay.
So this arts festival saw that I was playing just outside this comic book store, and it was next to their arts festival. And they got, the woman who was directing the arts festival got really angry because I wasn't like a sanctioned performer. So what she did was she had security literally build a fence around me.
Oh my, oh Lord.
And cage me. And I was playing out in front of the store and they encaged me. And they also, by the way, encaged the customers who were coming out of the store. Couldn't get out of the store because they put a fence around it. That's probably one of the weirdest things that's happened.
That is weird. I mean...
But it brought so many more people to the show because I was playing in a cage.
They couldn't leave, yeah.
Well, no. They were like, why is that girl playing in a cage? So they'd come around. I was like a zoo animal. I sold so many more CDs than I'm sure I would have if I was... They had just left me alone to my own devices, but they made the same fuss.
And it added an element of danger, I'm sure. Yeah. Oh, my God. In that fence.
Yeah.
I mean, was it like an opaque fence or was it like a chain link?
No, it was just a chain link fence.
Chain link fence. They could see you.
They could see me. They could hear me.
They could hear you.
And they weren't stopping me from playing because they couldn't, but it was just, I think the woman was having a really bad day or something and
so
something
terrible.
Flipped on her and she just went on a rampage to like shut me down in this really passive aggressive way that, you know, was better for me in the end.
That is weird. So I guess then the next thing is, speaking of weirdness, though, is when you get off tour.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you find yourself like, I've acclimated to tour life. Does home become weird?
Home is a little sad because it's New Jersey.
Yeah, that is pretty terrible. I'm not going to lie. I grew up there, folks. I can make fun of it, but...
I didn't, and I do make fun of it, but... Yeah.
Well, you live there, though.
I do. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you know what?
You pay your
I've
dues.
I've been there long enough. I pay taxes.
You
there.
Got your... Yes, you pay taxes.
That's right.
Chris Christie is your governor.
Oh, God.
You... Trust me, Tom Corbett is worse.
Okay.
And, yeah. But at least we're going to have the good sense of getting rid of him.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, no way he can get reelected.
He's not going to be the president or anything.
He's not going to try to be president.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Coming back from tour is... I mean... There's a fair amount of, like, wow, I can't wait to be in my own bed, followed by the sadness of, oh, this was so much fun. This is, like, all these new things and new people that we, you know, experienced to suddenly, gonna, you know, put an end to it. And it used to be really sad because I didn't have a lot of time between starting the day job again after tour.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be the first year now that I've quit that and I'm doing my own thing now that, you know, coming home is actually... gonna be I feel like there'll be a little bit more joy to it because I won't feel like I'm coming back just to be crushed
by
the man, you know.
Yeah, but is there any like weirdness, like you're so used to driving? And you know, my friend who I have a good friend I was telling you about earlier who drove out to Vancouver to do her doctoral research, actually Seattle to do her doctoral research, went to Vancouver and did the Trans-Canada Highway. And when she got back, one of the things that she said or expressed via social media was, it felt weird not to be in a moving car. After 2 weeks, she only did it for 2 weeks, the not being in a moving car, like just sitting on a sofa that doesn't have wheels on it,
mm-hmm.
was really unsettling to her.
No, I'm okay. I feel like there's so many stops on tour that it's not just a drive. There's a lot of stopping and hanging out with, you know, friends or whatever, or like being in one area for 3 or 4 days.
Oh, okay.
And you know, having a couch or having a bed to sleep on and stuff. So coming back isn't
so it's not
too
like,
weird.
Yeah, it's not like Shawshank Redemption where you're like so institutionalized to touring that you just can't, you know.
Yeah. No, it's nice to come back because I do have animals that I think might have some affection for me, or like they appreciate that I feed them. So when I
come back. Which I mean, they're cats, so I think it probably doesn't go past appreciation.
No, I'm not saying they love me or anything. I do love them in spite of
their
reluctance.
Yeah, in spite of the fact that they're cats,
so
I'm sorry. I have a cat. They're great, but it's not a dog. It's not.
I know it's a different.
It's a different
form of abuse.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I guess then, are there tour rules? You know, like, you know, every marriage is, what's that, This American Life, every marriage is a trial, or every marriage is a series of negotiations.
Mm-hmm.
Are there tour rules?
Total anarchy.
Total anarchy?
Yeah. No, mostly my husband drives because he does not like to sit in the passenger seat. So it's not me being lazy, just he likes to go. And be in, you know, he gets tired if he's on the passenger side. So
I feel the same way. That might be like some kind of weird male
thing.
Is
that a dude thing?
That might be a dude thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, you don't have utility or a function.
Yeah. And then.
Then what are you?
Yeah.
You're just decaying organic matter at that point in the passenger seat.
Well, see, when I'm in the passenger seat, I make merch. So I make catnip toys to sell at shows.
Okay.
So I'm trying to be industrious while I'm sitting there.
Okay.
I
so here's the question. So did you, like, buy, like, bulk catnip, or do you buy catnip on the road?
The catnip comes from my garden. This time of year, anyways, I grow the catnip, and then I dry
it. Whoa. You grow your own catnip?
I do.
Wow.
I do. We dry it. I have a picture on my phone, actually. I dried the catnip today on the dashboard. It just looks like a pile of weed. On the dashboard of the car.
Which, that's, yeah, I mean, law enforcement is a thing, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's catnip.
It's catnip.
Swear to God.
Well, I mean, did you hear about the guys in Utah who they were talking about Nickelback and making fun of Nickelback, and they got, like, detained?
Who doesn't do that? I mean,
well,
what,
the cops
for making fun of Nickelback?
They said Nickelbag.
Oh!
The cops heard nickel bag.
No, I didn't.
And so they're like, you guys are drug users, and for like hours, the cops were like, no, where's the drugs? No, really, where are the drugs?
That's a shame.
That's awful, yeah.
Yeah, but it's Utah, like I said.
That's Utah, yeah, that's America.
That's America.
Yeah. I remember last time I stayed at a hotel in the Midwest, I remember the cop... There was a cop car with a license plate reader that just went up and down the parking lot. Mm-hmm. And I, like, had this thought of, like, is this, like, some kind of, like, weird, like, John Dillinger in Cold Blood kind of thing going on here? Or, like, Fargo, that last scene in Fargo with William H. Macy in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where, oh, just a minute. And then, like, the cops are going to come busting in or something.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the police know, like, the only reason why you'd be there would be probably to, like, traffic people or drugs or be on the run or something.
Yeah, because, I mean, everybody who's out there at those rest stops, you're all passing through pretty much, so it's a very strange,
and you don't have, like,
place.
Yeah, and you don't have, like, the Gideon's Bible in the drawer to, like, remind you. I mean, that's why they put them in there in hotels, because you're free and anonymous.
Mm.
So they wanted some, like, grounding, but, like, you know... You're at a Flying J, you're just kind of, you know.
They have pretty good showers. I've taken some showers at some truck stops. There's some fancy ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's also interesting, there's also weird stuff at, like, those truck stops.
Yes.
Like, weird, like, car appliances and things you didn't know, and if you had made any, like, ill-advised, like, tour purchases.
Have I made ill-advised tour purchases? hold on.
That blueberry wine.
Oh,
do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I don't usually talk on these things.
It's okay.
I don't exist
That's
on these
the
things.
Husband.
But the blueberry wine was so bad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We... Yeah, that
stop.
Was one of
don't buy wine at a truck stop.
That was one of the first stories. Don't buy wine
just
at
don't.
A
just
truck
don't.
Stop. Especially blueberry wine. Yeah. No, that was bad. Yeah.
That sounds terrible.
That's,
oh my
that's
god,
definitely.
Yeah. So, on that note, I think it's time for the bottom five.
All right.
Okay, the bottom five is a
Hit
series
me.
Of questions not related to our main topic that are of a surrealistic and or philosophical nature. Are you ready?
Jeez.
Yes.
It's deep for this late at night.
It is. It is. But anyway. So. The question one. If reincarnation is real and you had to come back as an infectious disease or illness, what kind of disease would you be?
Toxoplasmosis.
What's that?
That is... Toxoplasmosis is a parasite that lives in cats.
Okay.
Oh,
is that the one that makes people crazy?
Yes.
And they get the crazy from, like, scooping the litter box?
Yes.
Okay, so it's the cat poop virus.
But I would just like to also add that it is, while cats are maligned for this, spreading this disease, you can also get it from, like, unwashed vegetables and, like, poop from any mammal. Because
any
mammal. Yeah, poop from any mammal can spread it. But it's generally known as the cat's disease because... one of the reproductive stages happens inside of a mouse, and cats eat mice.
Oh, cats eat, so, okay, so now, so since my cat has probably never eaten a mouse,
uh-huh.
I'm safe, I'm
You're
good.
Probably safe.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
I mean, I probably have it. I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay. On that note.
But, yeah, that was easy. Go, shoot.
Okay,
do
question
another.
Two, if you had to choose, would you welcome the total elimination of day or night?
If I had to choose.
If you had to choose. Say something happened, you know, some fracking accident stopped the world from spinning. And you could live on the day side or the night side. Or, like, the world, you knew the world was slowing down.
Day.
Which one would you, like, root for? Like, New Jersey would be on the day side or the night side?
Oh, the day side.
You'd want to be on the day side?
Yeah.
Is there any reason for that? Like, what's so great about day?
Sunshine.
Sunshine, vitamin D.
I can't. Yeah, I have serious like seasonal affective disorder when there's no sunshine. So I feel like constant night would just for my mental. I mean, if the world's ending, maybe we're having other issues anyway.
No, the world wouldn't end. It's just you know half of it wouldn't be able to grow food.
Oh, no, definitely the daytime.
Yeah,
because I can always put a sock over my eye or something. You know, you
could put a sock over your eye. Okay.
Put a cat on my face and go to sleep.
But isn't nighttime, like, sometimes it seems special, or I don't know.
It
Day
does.
Is just, like, this thing that you do. Like, night, you go, oh, that's exciting, or something. I don't know. That's just me.
Night's
that's
exciting,
me.
But it's exciting because it's for a little bit of time.
Mm.
It's not, like, it's exciting in the moment, and I feel like if it was just always nighttime, it wouldn't be as exciting, right?
I'm not convinced. Question three, what is the strangest injury you've ever suffered?
Okay. I stuck a headband in my ear canal once. This was like, I was old enough to know better than to stick things in my ear. I was in high school. And it was this like metal headband and it had a little ridge on the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, I don't know what I was doing, and I just stuck it in my ear, and I ended up, like, tearing my ear canal, and that really hurt, and I went to the emergency room, and I had to tell people, like, I stuck a headband in my ear, there was no good, like, oh, it was an accident. Was
oh, just, yeah, that happens to people all the time, kind of, yeah.
Like, just, I don't know what happened.
Oh.
There you go.
Okay, question four. What is your most irrational pet peeve?
I have to think it's irrational, or other people think
well, I think, yeah, I think that you have to be self-aware enough to know. You know what? I probably shouldn't get so worked up over this. But damn it, if you do it, I will murder you in front of your entire family.
Hmm.
Kind of stuff. I have a few. It's not pretty. It's. I'm not very proud of myself for that.
I mean, not. It's not really a pet peeve against other people, but like having, I can't be creative in a room that doesn't have clean surfaces.
So, okay, so like this house right now.
This house right now.
Is not happening.
I'm not writing any songs tonight.
Okay, sorry.
No, like my house, I have to vacuum. Like vacuuming is, well, I also have 5 cats. So okay. It can get a little hairy.
Okay.
And I have to vacuum and like surfaces have to be clean. So I often take like your table right here. Like I would just take all the stuff and put it in that basket. Like, even though that's not neat, but there's more surface. I can see surfaces. I see. So I make piles that go vertical when there's nowhere to put it.
Oh, I understand. See, when you said vacuuming, though, it's part of, like, the pre-writing process.
Okay.
Like, I need to be stupid for 5 minutes. Yeah. And there's great, you know, stupidity in vacuuming.
Mm-hmm.
Where you just don't hit stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have to be smart. You don't have to be creative. Don't hit stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And don't hit stuff and avoid shoelaces. And I get so lost in thought that the shoelace thing kind of goes out the
I've endangered some shoelaces' lives before.
Yeah. Well, I think what's worse is then you suck it up and then the belt goes. I've done that. I've burned vacuum cleaner belts because I've sucked up shoelaces.
Oh.
And like that was still attached to a shoe and then the shoe just gets and then I'm like, I can fix this.
But you always go around it because you think you're like, I can get this. I can get around it. Or it's not really going to suck the whole thing up. It was, you know. No, I know.
Yeah, no.
I'm the only one in my house that vacuums, so. I feel that.
Oh.
That was not a dig. It was just, that's how it is.
All right. So. Question 5, which is not a question. It is a prompt.
Yeah.
All right? Okay. Tell me a happy but somewhat unremarkable memory of your childhood.
Happy and unremarkable.
Happy and unremarkable. It's not like I went to Disney World, it was awesome, and I met Mickey. No, just something that was so normal and banal, but you can look back at it and go, yeah, you know, that was really nice.
I think the moment I decided that, well, maybe not my decision moment, but one of those sparks of, oh, I think music is what I want to do, was I had a solo in 7th grade. And I was in this cabaret, and I sang Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Okay.
It was either that one, or I sang I Dreamed a Dream. See, I can't quite remember which one it was. I Dreamed a Dream. I think it was I Dreamed a Dream from Les Mis. And, like, I sang in front of the audience, and the lights in the audience clapped afterwards. And I don't know, I got filled with this, like, I like this feeling. I think this is what I want to do.
And oh, wow.
So, it's all Les Mis' fault. I think.
It is lame. So if the tour goes bad, you get a flat tire, window broken, you can say, you know.
I'll blame Mr. Cabral, because he's the one who gave me the solo.
Ah, there you go.
He started this monster that before you.
This monster and this monster tour.
Yes.
So it is, what is today? Today is July 12th. And you're going to be touring until, I guess, now August 18th?
I'm headed back briefly to New Jersey, and then I'm off again after 3 days in New Jersey, and my feet are back on the ground September 8th.
September 8th, okay.
So I'm going back to New Jersey, up to Connecticut, back down to Georgia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and to Chicago.
So. And Chicago again. So crisscrossing the country. Where can folks find out about your itinerary places to see the Sarah Donner cross-country
monster
show? Yes, the monster.
You.
Yes.
SarahDonner.com.
Sarah, and I'll link
Sarah
that on
with
website.
An H.
Oh, yeah. That's you have one of those names.
I know. Yeah. If they like kittens, my Facebook page is a good place to follow me because I post a lot of pictures of my fosters. So you get, like, music and bonus kittens on your, you know, Facebook feed.
And sometimes music about cats.
And sometimes music about cats.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right. So I think that's about it. Our next episode will eventually happen, and it will be about something, I guess.
It should be.
Yeah, something, yes.
Yeah. It'll be in your new house, too.
Yeah, I'm going to get a new house. And
your
then
new studio.
New studio, and it's going to be great. You know, it's going to be a green room and you know, stuff, you know, for people's riders on their contracts. You know, yours was very reasonable, so that's good.
Yeah, sure.
So our homepage, where you can find new and old episodes, is gonnadiepodcast.com, all one word. We're also on the iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at gonnadiepodcast, and We're All Gonna Die is on Facebook and Google Plus. I think there is now one person who is not me who is following the Gonna Die Podcast Google Plus page. And I haven't updated that for a few months now, so maybe I should get on that. But in the meantime, thanks to Brett Zork, as always, for the lovely theme music. Later, meets.